one verse. I don't want to just rip a verse out, but I do want to use this verse as a springboard for the message. In verse number 9, 1 John 4, the epistle of John, 1 John 4, verse number 9. 1 John 4, verse number 9, in this. In what? In God's love. Verse 8, verse 7, he's talking about God loving us. And if we know God, we'll be those that love. But he said, in this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world. Now notice this last phrase, that we might live through him. Now, there is a twofold thought. In my estimation, we have the main thought of that phrase. We have eternal life through Christ. God loved us enough to give us Jesus, and we received that by faith of the finished work of Calvary. And now, because of God's love through Christ, we have life. Amen. That we might live through him. But also, the Bible also tells us once we're saved that God's commandments are not grievous. A lot of people say, I don't want to be a Christian. There are too many rules. Folks, my salvation isn't based on rules. My salvation is based on grace through faith. Period. But many times we'll quote Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And I thank God for that. But we skip over many times verse number 10 of that text. We are created in Christ Jesus unto good works. We are his workmanship. And so therefore God saved me freely. But now that I'm a child of God, there is a life that I live now. Not of myself, but only through him can I live a righteous life. See, all of our righteousness, as the prophet said, is as filthy rags. None of us are good enough. Amen. None of us are good enough to be saved within ourselves or to live godly within ourselves. Don't take you but a half a second to get up in the morning and that flesh is already working on you. So now the Lord, we have eternal life through Christ. But also we have living righteously only through Christ. You getting that? Therefore, I don't want any distance between me and him. Peter walked afar off, and the outcome was disastrous. And if you and I walk afar off and do not have a relationship with Christ, it'll be disastrous. We'll fall somewhere. Not fall from grace and salvation, but fall in defeat and fall into sin and ruin or mar our testimony. Our influence. So we have to be careful. Now I want to use this thought, and I got a bunch of places to go, and I don't know how long it'll take us to get there, but we'll go as the Lord leads, and I won't keep you long. But how a Christian should live. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm not going to spew out a bunch of rules to you. Matter of fact, rules, just do what God said. Amen. Amen. The Bible is a book of do's and don'ts, but it's also a book of standards and morals. Amen. See, the do and don't might not be there, but the moral might be. Amen. Or the standard is set up there. Well, I can do this, that, or the other. There's not a verse that says I cannot do it. And Paul said, is it expedient? Is it going to further your testimony or hurt it? Is it going to be a stumbling block to an unbeliever or a weaker Christian? So therefore, there may not be a don't or do in it, but there may be a standard in it or moral in it. And I believe the Spirit of God, if we are walking right, the Spirit of God will grieve us. Amen. Even if the moral's not there and we do it. Right. Or the standard's not there and we do it or don't do it. But anyway, there is a way that God's people should live. And I want to run through these and I hope it'll be a help to you. Number one, we should live with confidence. Now, I'm not talking about fleshly confidence. The Bible said to take heed. He that thinketh he standeth, take heed, lest he fall. We understand our confidence is not in the flesh. Paul said, I put no confidence in the flesh. In me that's in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. So he's not talking about a carnal confidence, but a godly confidence. What do you mean? Fixed in our salvation. Amen. Folks, this may be as far as I get today, but until we nail that down, until we know without a shadow of a doubt that we have by faith believed the gospel, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures and was buried and he rose again the third day bodily according to the Scriptures. Yes, God's given me the faith to believe that as though I was there. And God gives us that faith to trust the gospel. Amen. And for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. Well, preacher, I still got to do something because my sins were many. Folks, his blood is more powerful than your many sins. All of us had a bucket full. All of us come in shame to the cross. But aren't you thankful that Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost? Hallelujah. So to live as Christ means we got to live in confidence, fixed in our salvation. Now the Bible says in 1 John 5:13, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye believe on the name of the Son of God. Amen. Fixed. Do you know? People have come to me, and it's not a new thing for folks to battle their assurance of their salvation. And the reason folks battle the assurance of their salvation, and I don't mean this in a harmful way, is their lack of confidence in the blood of Christ. Amen. Get a hold of that. His blood was perfect. Amen. The Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. And see, I had nothing to do with getting saved as far as repent, turning and calling on the Lord. He done all the saving. And I have nothing to do with being kept that way. Amen. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. That's the work of the Spirit of God. Folks, if we try to say, well, I tell you, preacher, I just can't get a hold to it. Man, I know I heard the gospel and the Spirit of God convicted me and I saw myself a sinner and I turned to God in repentance and I trusted the cross in faith and I called on the Lord, but I just still have problems believing I'm saved or trusting that. It's because in your mind, all the things you've done wrong in your life is surmounted over your head. They're bigger than your intellect. They're awful in your mind, and they was. Amen. But you don't realize the blood of Jesus cleanseth us. Amen. Did you hear that? The blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from what? All sin. All sin. That's what the blood does. So therefore, we don't have to walk around in defeat. We don't have to walk around worried. Am I really got it? Hey, if you trusted the Lamb of God that took away the sin of the world, you got it and you'll forever have it. Amen. Again, I'm not preaching a license to sin. I'm preaching a biblical fact. Amen. That's for another message. The message today is you can walk in confidence that you're a child of God. You can walk in confidence, but you're a child of God. Don't walk defeated. The devil, the only one that brings up your past sins is the devil and those that work for him. Amen. Yeah, I said it. The only ones that bring up what you were before salvation is the devil and those that work in his camp. I could tell an old story. Now he's here. He don't care. I've told it before when he's here. Had a man sit in my office years ago. He wanted to rat on a man that just got saved here. Began to tell me stuff. He didn't tell me much. I stopped him. I said, let me ask you something. I got confused. I said, you do know he got saved, right? I said, have you not got the memo? I said, he got born again. Amen. And this man was supposed to be a Christian. And I ain't saying he's not, but he's messed up in his doctrine. But he said, oh, yeah, but. I said, uh-uh. Amen. We're not going to interject no buts in that. I said, did the blood of Jesus cleanse him or not? Yeah. I said, I don't want to hear another word. Amen. Old boy got up and stormed out mad. I wasn't mad. I wasn't upset at him. I felt sorry for him. Not to know no more of the Bible than that. That's what, Satan brings it up. I'm going to tell you something. You're battling with the assurance of your salvation. Let me go ahead and tell you something. The devil's a liar. Hey, when my daddy led me to Jesus in August of 1983 and on 745 Loop Road, we called it the big living room at a green vinyl couch with yellow shag carpet. Once a month, you had to weed eat it. No, you didn't have to do that. He took the Word of God. Man, I was under conviction bad. Y'all know that. I'm going to skip all that. He took the Word of God. And he read Romans 10:9-10. Thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus. And thou shalt believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead. Thou shalt be saved. For with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. With the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. And for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He said, you believe that? I said, oh, yeah. Amen. I know Jesus died for me. Yeah. I know I'm a sinner. I know I need to be saved. He said, call on him. I don't remember every word because it's not in the wording. Don't get tangled up in, did I say the right thing? God's looking for a heart. A lot of people say, preacher, I don't know what I said. God does. Amen. You know what? I've had people tell me this, and I believe they, I know, I think they're right. They said, preacher, I was saved from the pew to the altar. By faith, he accepted the gospel. He turned. God already done something. But I remember saying, Lord, I'm a sinner. Forgive me. Would you save me? And that moment I passed from death unto life. Amen. I became a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things passed away. Behold, all things become new. That instant. My daddy set me down before he went back to work. He says, I'm going to tell you something. He said, at some point, I'm going to go ahead and tell you, at some point, you're going to make a mistake. He said, you're going to say something. You're going to think something. He said, in that moment, Satan's going to tell you, you didn't get it. Already forewarned me. At that moment, he said, Satan's going to get on your shoulders. And he said, here's what you do. You remind him of when the Holy Spirit of God touched you. Convicted you, convinced you, and converted you. You take it back to the place in your heart. or you bowed and called on the Lord. And he said, I promise you, son, he'll take off. He'll take off. And I'm going to tell you today, if you truly biblically been saved, and the devil jumps on, and again, we're not preaching a license to sin. We become God's children, and hey, now we're God's children, and he chastens his children. Another sermon. I want you to get it nailed down this morning. I want you to get it nailed down. He's going to come to you. Hey, he's going to say, you didn't really get it. If you really got it, you wouldn't have said that. Say, oh, devil, I know I shouldn't have said it. I know it's a sin, and I hate it. Those that brag on their sins, something's wrong. I'm not talking about that crowd. Contrite heart, man. But he said, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. See, sin and sins aren't exactly the same. Sin is what we are. Sins is what we do. We were born in sin. Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. So death passed on all men, for all have sinned. See, you're not a sinner because you committed sins. You commit sins because you are a sinner. I hope that come out right. I'm confused myself. And the blood of Jesus cleanseth us. I love those ETHs. Continually is cleansing us. Do you understand when you get to heaven, you're not going to stand before God for one sin? Not one. Our sin was judged at Calvary. When Christ died on the cross, that was the judgment of our sin placed on him. The judgment of our sin was placed on Jesus that day. See, when we stand before the Lord at the judgment seat of Christ, it's not going to be for sin, it's going to be for works. For reward's sake, crowns. Not our entrance into heaven, Jesus paid that. And I promise you, what Christ paid for was, Bible said, once for all. Amen. So we don't have to, well, I better do enough good work. Folks, if works don't save you, works don't keep you. Amen. That's right. See, there's some denominations, and I'm not kicking anybody, but because those denominations believe you can lose your salvation seem happier than we are. They got more joy than we are. They don't know for sure if they got it from one day to the next. But the Bible said, if we add works to grace, it's no more grace. So if grace saved me, then they believe that grace saves y'all. They'll quote with you Ephesians 2:8-9. But then they believe you can lose it. So what they're doing is mixing works for grace. And what they're saying is, I'm saved by grace, but I'm kept by works. That's an oxymoron. That's an impossibility. If works can't save me, works can't keep me. I mean, honestly, where's the standard of works for salvation? How much do you have to do? If there's none righteous, no, not one, how can we in the flesh please God? That's what Paul said. How in the flesh can we please the Lord? Sin, therefore, if the flesh can't please the Lord, then it doesn't matter what we do within ourselves, it's never going to please him. Amen. That's better than snuff. Ain't half as dusty. Amen. How in the world, if our righteousness is filthy rags in the flesh, how can we ever produce righteousness? How can we ever produce holiness, I mean? If our righteousness is filthy rags, and it's forever filthy. See, when you got saved, God didn't overhaul your old man. He put a new one in you. And one day we're going to get new bodies. I've been saved from the penalty of sin. I've been saved from the power of sin. And praise God, when the trump sounds, I'm going to be saved from the presence of it. There'll be no more of that. So you need to walk in confidence. Confident that what Jesus did in you is going to last forever. Confidence, not self-confidence, but Savior confidence. Let me give you one more. We'll see what God wants for this evening. So a Christian should live in confidence, but also live in cleansing. These go hand in hand. In other words, forgiven of all your sins. Bible says in several places, matter of fact, Ephesians 1:7, Colossians 1:14, we have forgiveness of sins through the blood of Jesus. So since we have cleansing in Christ, we can live godly in Christ. There's no excuse. The Lord gave you everything. The fullness of Christ. You got everything. We got everything we needed when the Lord saved us. We have the Scriptures. Paul said, this Bible is sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing even dividing asunder of soul and spirits, and to discern the thoughts and intents of the heart, and to the joints of the marrow. I mean, we have a living book, God breathed. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. That word inspiration means God breathed. This isn't man's opinion. I may get this a little wrong. There's about 40 different penmen. 1600 years. You couldn't get four men without being inspired to agree. No, they, you know what happened? There'd be 1,000 chapters arguing about something. But God breathed it. Those 40 penmen wasn't the author. They just took down the dictation. Let that sink in. 40 different penmen in a span of 1,600 years from Genesis to Revelation is written, and every book flows perfectly. Now you tell me why you can't trust God's Word. There's not another book like it. God's inspired, infallible, inerrant Word. So, we have the Scriptures. We have the Spirit. What's the Holy Spirit do? Leads us and guides us in truth. See, I know we talk about the Trinity. Don't ask me to explain it all. But God's one God and He manifests Himself in three persons. The Father, Son, the Holy Spirit. Co-equal in all power and attribute. The Holy Spirit, because He was named third, doesn't mean He's third in power. They're all one. He's just the last one brought to us. Come on. So if we have the Scriptures, well, how in the world, preacher, am I? That's why we have the Holy Spirit. To lead us and guide us in this truth. Amen. You'll never get victory over any sins in your life without the Scriptures and the Holy Spirit. Amen. But the Lord even gave us a third thing. The servants. The men of God, preachers. To proclaim truth. To preach the gospel to explain. You understand, preaching and teaching have different concepts. Teaching explains the truths. Preaching helps us put it into practice or to apply it. We need them both. You need them both, preaching and teaching. And gifts to the church, if you read in Paul's epistle, two of them was pastors and teachers. Gifts to the church. Ain't I pretty present? Ain't these Sunday school teachers? So therefore, we don't have to walk in the flesh. We don't have to live in defeat. Because we have the Scriptures. We have the Holy Spirit. And we have the servants. Isn't it a blessing that when God saved you, that now you have authority in Christ to get in this Bible? See, that's why the Romans didn't want everybody to have a copy of the Word of God, just the priest. They wanted to tell you what you're supposed to know. Hey, you have direct access. You have direct access to the Word of God. You doubting something you're involved in? Hey, anything that takes you away from the Lord, God's not in it. God will never lead you to something that's going to carry you away from Him. It doesn't matter. He's not going to do it. And so I commend you to this. Go ahead and set your standard high to that. And say, I'm not getting involved in anything that has the potential of making me walk afar off. I'm not going to get involved in that. I'm not going to join that. I'm not going to participate in that. I'm not going to go to that. So we should live in our cleansing, fixed in our salvation, forgiven of all our sins. And I got several more, but I'm going to stop right there. I feel the lead of the Lord to stop right there. We may pick this up tonight, may pick it up Wednesday night. It's just whatever the Lord wants. I'm right now still in my heart praying about the will of God for tonight, what we need to do. But folks, we don't have to live defeated. We don't have to live all to pieces. We're not working for victory. We're working from it. The Bible says we have the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Don't say, I know sometimes we feel defeated and we commit a sin, the Holy Spirit's grieved. But when we get that right, when we confess that sin with brokenness, by faith, accept that the Lord has forgiven that. And ask Him to restore the joy of thy salvation. And carry on. Lord, help us. Let's all stand. Court's coming.